Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly quarters per muster. And the time is for us to be together for our half hour, in which it is my hope, my wish, and my command to myself that at the end of our half hour together, we all feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. So I'm going to remind everybody that this is Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the frequency modulated band, and streamed live all over the world from Singapore to Stockholm, going the long way around on voiceofvashon.org. And it's also where you can go on to the archive if you are not able to listen to me live and you listen to the program from the archive. That's also where you find it, voiceofvashon.org. The Binnacle List this week has a couple of entries on it that are new to the Binnacle List and hopefully relatively short membership thereon. One of them is one of my Coast Guard people on the Coast Guard channel who is dealing with multiple, many different conditions. And I always hope not only for those who I mentioned specifically, but also for all of Captain Joe's people who are on the Binnacle List for physical or mental or financial or whatever reason it is that gets you to be entered onto the Binnacle List, that your time there be short and that you're able to then move on to other things. Because we all have a lot to do. We have a lot of people to take care of. We have a lot of rescues yet to be made all over the world. And we just need to get off that Binnacle List as soon as we can. I'm putting my sister and my brother-in-law both in Vermont on the Binnacle List as well. And they're both dealing with several things that hopefully we can get sorted out. Because they are not able to travel and because I am, I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with them in Vermont, not too far from Burlington. I will tell you that it is impossible to get a direct flight from SeaTac to Burlington, Vermont. And one must change on my outbound flight. I have to change in what to me is one of the most miserable airports in the world, and that's Newark. EWR, Echo Whiskey Romeo. And coming back, I have to change in one that is of equal contempt on my part, and that is Chicago O'Hare, ORD, Oscar Romeo Delta. But that's how we have to get around. And if one needs to go to Burlington, Vermont, one needs to change someplace. So that's what we're going to do. The whole business of all coasts are messages which go to all Coast Guard people. I put out a general message to my family. It's called an all family members. I send those to our six children, and then they have the responsibility for further transmission down through the hierarchy of grandchildren, friends, and others of Rabbit's friends and relations. But back to all coasts. So the Coast Guard has somehow become addicted to all coasts. They come from the Commandant in Washington, D.C., and the Commandant, in his wisdom, has delegated to many, many people the authority to issue all coasts. And in fact, we are now up to I've got it here in my notes because I was in particular struck by this one. Number 421 for this year of messages which somebody in the, either the commandant himself or on the staff in Washington, deems important enough to be transmitted to the entire Coast Guard. Because all coasts, unless they are classified, are public records and be published, you can get on to a mailing list, and I have done that. And so I get all coasts which are not classified. I no longer hold a top secret security clearance. I don't hold a security clearance of anything, for that matter, right now. So we're up to 421.21. The subject of 421.21 is thus: sexual harassment or harassment, depending on where you put the accent, transparency report. So I call this up because this is a subject that we have discussed here. It is something that I do not understand why it happens. I don't understand why shipmates and classmates attack their shipmates and classmates. Not in my ships, not under my command, not on my watch. Anyway, it's been mandated by Congress that this particular report be generated. And so every year they put this out, Sexual Harassment Transparency Report. It relates that there have been 113 investigations of sexual harassment by shipmates against shipmates, classmates against classmates. And that's just in the Coast Guard. A shameful record, a shameful record. And most of these are, according to this particular report, transparency report, most of these are verbal comments or inappropriate texts or social media. Significantly, not all that many have involve actual physical contact. But the fact that there is even one that involves physical contact is one more than my service should be reporting. So anyway, I read the text of All Coast 421.21, and I got to the part which said, if you want to read the detailed statistics, click on this link. Well, of course, I wanted to read the detailed statistics. I wanted to know exactly how many of these involved physical contact, for example, because that's the sort of thing which is so deleterious to unit readiness and unit cohesion. And once again, not under my command, not in my service, not in my ships, not on my watch. So I hit that link, and it took me to a Coast Guard website in which I was supposed to then type in my active duty username and my active duty password. Of course, I no longer have either. So much for transparency. I can go to the site. I can get some sort of an executive summary. I can read who on the commandant's staff sent this out, and I'm going to refer to that in just a minute because she is going to hear from me. But I'm not able to read the real meat of All Coast 421.21, and so much for transparency. So this was put out by the person in the Coast Guard, in the commandant's staff in Washington, who is responsible for making sure that these things don't happen. Do you think that this is, let's say, a highly experienced captain, a cutter captain? Maybe one that has commanded a number of ships during his time? Not so. It's a civilian. And after her name is PhD. Now, let's not make any mistake here. I have the highest regard for people who hold the educational rank of doctor of philosophy. My son Mark is a doctor of education, and my Mark in Stockholm holds a PhD, and I have many physician friends who are doctors of medicine. So be not deceived. I have no brief against people that hold these advanced and extremely difficult to earn degrees. What I do have a quarrel with is that this person, and she may be incredibly qualified someplace else, but she has never commanded anything. She has never taken a ship through a rescue in a storm. She has never put a helicopter into a high hover and pulled and plucked people out of the sea such that they would live another day, so that they would have their children and their grandchildren. So along with not understanding why shipmates and classmates attack each other, I don't understand why somebody who has never commanded is holding this particular position. And because the All Coast is signed by her, I also know how to construct her email address. And so, Doctor, you are about to enter into a dialogue, should you so choose, to talk to me about this, at least electronically. And my commitment in my hand to all of Captain Joe's people is that when this happens, that I will give you back a report. One of the things that we've talked about on this program is what's going on with the supply chain from the maritime and nautical side. And a report came to me from one of my favorite sources, and that is G Captain. Thanks, as always, to Joe for pointing me in the direction of G Captain. And it is talking about a company that is building containers that can be folded. Well, all this does is simplify the storage of them as they stock up. Instead of stacking them up six or seven high as full-size containers, now we can stack them up 20 or 25 high because they're now folded and folded down into a much smaller size. The article is not clear, and I'm not clear as to exactly how that is going to improve the movement of goods in containers. This is another subject about which I'm going to report back. Here is a nautical term for today, and the term is Charlie Noble. And Truman is sitting, Captain O'Brien is sitting right across from me, and he's engaged in some activity that I'm not quite clear he's doing. But Truman, do you know what a Charlie Noble is?
I do not.
Truman reports that he does not. Well, it's a fortunate thing for him today, because he and everybody else who is not from the seagoing world will know that a Charlie Noble is, in fact, the galley smokestack. And when the galley has a galley range, once we started to enclose galley ranges in sailing ship days, they were often out in the open, when we started to enclose them, an uptake was put over the galley range. And the reason that it is called a Charlie Noble, I know you want to know that too, and you're going to learn. So there was a merchant captain in the British merchant fleet in the middle 1800s during the reign of Her Majesty Queen Victoria, and his name was Charles Noble, Captain Charles Noble. And the uptake over the galley range in his particular ship was copper. And because he was a strict adherent to the customs and traditions of the sea, he said that from now on, that copper will be kept polished. And the person who polished it was the ship's cook, or the ship's cooks. So even today, the uptake over the galley range or ranges, and they're pretty big in an aircraft carrier. In fact, there's more than one galley in an aircraft carrier. But They are still called Charlie Noble, and they are not ever made out of copper anymore. But what the ship's cook does polish, again, by custom, and certainly in all of my ships, the ship's cook is responsible for keeping the ship's bell polished. There. There you go, Truman. Your day is fulfilled. So it is always a golden time when Truman is in here with me, because we play off each other all the time. And when I get the opportunity to teach him something nautical, I always take that opportunity. However, in my ships, the ship's bell was kept polished, and it was always polished by the cooks, plural. So,
the bell was not called Charlie Noble.
No, Truman, the bell is not called Charlie Noble. No. It is the uptake over the galley range. Yeah, it's called the Charlie Noble. However, the bell was, because the Charlie Noble is no longer polishable, it is now the bell that is polished by the ship's cooks. And occasionally, the ship's bell is taken down, and it's turned upside down, and it's filled with water, and children of members of the crew are baptized in the inverted ship's bell. There's number two for you today, Truman. And so talk about a nautical term overload. This is it for you. Well, that's in return for your teaching me a couple things today. The port of Los Angeles, Long Beach, they are considered to be one port by nautical maritime people. It is a created port. It's a built port. And it's known as LOSA Long Beach. And LOSA Long Beach was today, or yesterday, supposed to start assigning fines, not really fines, they were more a fee, for containers that were kept within the confines of the port too long. And the threat of this has motivated shipping companies, in particular, like A.P. Moller Maersk, which is the largest shipping company in the world, has motivated them to start to move some of those containers. So those of you who live out in the Midwest and see the light Danish blue Maersk containers going by on your trains, on your freight trains, should be seeing a much higher flow of containers, because A.P. Moller Maersk took this to heart, and they started moving containers out of LOSA Long Beach. In the meantime, here in the port of Seattle, I was driving around the port complex a few days ago and saw containers stacked up, and although I didn't count, I believe that they were at least 10 high. So we still have a lot of containers lying around. I would not be surprised that the port of Seattle might also start to threaten to charge a fee for letting them sit there. So we will continue to track all of that. I reported last week about my birthday, and I, since then, have had an incredible birthday celebration, which came a few days after the event, and it was motivated and started by my friends and neighbors, Michelle and Scott, next door. Michelle, of course, is my kitty supplier, and I was told that the only thing that I had to do was have my shot card with me, and that we were going to go off on a surprise adventure. Well, the surprise adventure turned out to be, first of all, the Van Gogh exhibit, which is a traveling exhibit, and they find a vacant warehouse. And they set this thing up in a vacant warehouse, and it has a lot of electronics, and it has a lot of sound, and it has a lot of amazing portrayals of Van Gogh's work, because it is an immersive exhibit. It may not be to the taste of purists, and yet, should it come to you, should it come to your city, it probably can only go to failing art cities that have large empty warehouses. It takes up a huge amount of space. I recommend that you go and see it. And if you are a lover of, in particular, the Impressionists, the Van Gogh exhibit is well worth going to. And along with that, there was in the city of Seattle at the same time an exhibit of Monet's paintings. And in this case, they are the original paintings that were collected from museums, in several museums that have Monet work. And Michelle and Scott and I had gone to see that. And I recommend that for the purist, because it's absolutely beautiful presentation of his work. So if you are able to get to see either or both of these, I recommend that you space them out a little bit, because in particular, the Van Gogh exhibit will hit you right in the midship section. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. A little bit of an update on Bonhomme Richard. I have taken on Bonhomme Richard as one of my own personal loves. I just think that what happened to her, which did not have to happen, is just so sad. So one of the things that has happened most recently is that this young sailor, this young seaman, who is has been charged with arson to starting the fire. And I make a parenthetical insertion here that although he quite properly should be charged and he should be tried, and let the military court decide his guilt or his innocence, that there was far more to this whole thing than just his getting that fire started, if in fact that's how it started. And those of you who are Captain Joe's people and know how I feel about command and command responsibility know exactly how I feel about the commanding officer, her captain. So the piece that came to me this morning was that the Article 32 is an article in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It is similar to a grand jury hearing in the civilian justice system, and it is a requirement before someone can be charged with a general or a with a general court-martial, which is the highest level of court-martial. And so they have delayed because the defense for this young sailor has asked for it to be delayed. And I hope that they don't delay it too long, because it is my personal conviction, based on a lot of experience with ships and with training for disasters like what happened to Bonnie Dick, is that they pretty well know what happened, and they should be able to go to trial pretty quickly. We're now over a year from when the thing actually happened. So I hope it doesn't drag on too long. I saw some of the film clips from Remembrance Sunday in London. And it was a good thing for me to see all of the troops. I don't know yet whether Her Majesty the Queen was supposed to go there, but whether she was able to go there. But traditionally, the Queen and other members of the royal family who are entitled to decorations, and that is almost all of them, all go together as a family to the cenotaph, which is a memorial in the middle of London. And but it was good to see the troops out and marching along by Whitehall and that it was a sign of a return to some kind of stability to see the guards, for example, with the bearskins and the Royal Marines, the band of the Royal Marines wearing their white topis. That's the name of the particularly distinctive white cover that they wear, to see them marching and with the traditional way that they handle the drumsticks and all of those other things that warm the cockles of your captain's black heart. So I've been working with the Department of Natural Resources here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And one of the things that I've been able to do is to provide them with access to my beachfront, where we've established some sampling sites for eelgrass. Now, everybody remembers eelgrass is an important part of the life cycle that works all the way up to us. And it is in the eelgrass that the smelt lives, and the smelt is eaten by the salmon, and the salmon are eaten by the orca. And orca, of course, are the exemplars of the health of Puget Sound. And in fact, they are there are millions of them in the Southern Ocean. So I've been able to help out with this. And I bring the Department of Natural Resources up because in the state of Washington, they do a lot of different things, and they don't always get the best press. But this particular group is made up of almost all young people, either just out of university and starting to build their own portfolio of experience and getting ready to go to, many of them go on from here to graduate school. And so it is always a real pleasure for me to have them to come on to the land on which captain's quarters sit. I invite them to make head calls before and after their visit to the eelgrass. And now we're going to set up a little campsite and have them all come and spend maybe a couple days on my property and have a little retreat. That's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it a retreat. And but I'm delighted to be able to make some small contribution to all of this because the health of the sound is important to me. My captain's quarters look right out over the sound. And I have given unto myself the responsibility for management of the part of the sound from Point Robinson all the way to the Port of Tacoma. However, the people who transit that don't know that that is part of my responsibility. And one of them is to make sure that the lighthouse right across from me is on station. And, well, lighthouses are always on station because they don't move. It's buoys that have to be on station, but is always watching properly. And when it's not watching properly, which occasionally happens, and I look over there and I see that it is not showing its advertised characteristic, and I get on to the sector commander and I can just hear the watchkeeper at the, oh God, it's Captain Joe again, and he's whining, mewing, and puking about the light not watching properly. So that's one of my self-assumed jobs is to manage Puget Sound and from Point Robinson all the way down into the Port of Tacoma. It really keeps me busy. And when I go away, as I'm going away to Vermont, I have to make sure that everything is in place for the time that I'm away so that nothing happens that is untoward. So the Florida politicians, one minute. Florida politicians, this is a quick one, if I can ever be quick. Florida politicians say that the Florida ports should be given the opportunity to pick up the slack for all of those things that are happening in the West Coast. And, of course, that means a transit through the Panama Canal for all of those. So the book today is Trafalgar by David Howorth, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in the next broadcast because it is time once again and far too quickly for me to say that if you are responsible for other people, then make sure that you, as always, do your duty I am always trying to do mine, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, on station, watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.